Habiéndose hermanito, compartiendo un pedacito, porque eran muy pobrecito y no tenían ni mamá. Ellos se preguntaban por qué si somos dos gente nos hacen comer, no uno nada más. Su país se la buscaba trepado en una patana, repartiendo plátano y pata y trompa. Y cuando los dos niños entraban a la mordida, el papá le decía la verdad:
agárrense de ahí, que no hay maná. Pónganse a jugar o la correa voy a sacar. Uno por adelante y el otro por atrás. Dios me lo mando.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time just about every week to check in with the state humanities councils. We have seven in our region, and we speak this morning with Edward Paulino. He is one of New York Council for the Humanities Public Scholars and an assistant professor of history at John Jay College. And we talk to him about the history of bearing witness to what is often unspeakable violence. In his recent book, Dividing Hispaniola, he details the 20th century history of one of the world's bloodiest borders that is between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And we welcome Edward Paulino to Ideas Matter in our roundtable segment this morning. Thank you very much for being
with us. Good
morning. Very nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
What brought you initially to the subject of wanting to look at this border and really the unspeakable violence that has occurred there?
Well, first, my parents are from the Dominican Republic, and I was born and raised in New York City. And like many children of immigrants, I had questions about how and when and why my parents migrated to the United States when they did in the 60s. And as I started learning more about that history, in college, I discovered for myself this very small massacre that occurred in 1937, where the dictator Rafael Trujillo ordered the killing of about 10 to 15,000 Haitian men, women, and children. And in order for me to learn more about that event, I had to learn about the history of the border.
So in learning that history of the border, talk to us about how this became such a confrontational place and the setup as to why at this time in this place is so disturbed.
Right. So Dominican Republic and Haiti are two sovereign nations that occupy one island. So just that in and of itself is a geographical anomaly. There are very few places like that or that resemble that geographical and political configuration, you know, like Cyprus or East Timor. And today, these two nations are a legacy of European colonialism. And so Haiti was colonized by the French, and Dominican Republic colonized by the Spanish. And so what became the border region was this frontier that represented the limits of the empire, where it was too far from both capitals. And a culture and an autonomous region emerged, and it evolved always beyond the control of the state. And so the wars between the colonial powers and later different Dominican governments are a result of trying to control that region. And so the massacre in the 20th century is just a continuum of elites in the Dominican Republic trying to wrest control from this semi-autonomous region.
And I guess this comes in to the story many times, but I was fascinated in reading about this of exactly what the motive was. I mean, in this time frame that you look at in the book from 1930 to 1961, the motives change, don't they?
Yes. I mean, it's interesting. you just mentioned that previously that it's such a bloody border. But it's my book is also about how the border is also a border of collaboration between colonial peoples and then later on Dominicans and Haitians. And so the motive for the violence that erupts throughout the centuries intermittently is either political, counterinsurgencies, revolutionary groups trying to overthrow the capital elites, either in Port-au-Prince or Santo Domingo, or revolutionaries organizing to fight against invading powers like the United States, which occupied the island in the 20th century, first in Haiti in 1915 to 1934, and then a year later in the Dominican Republic in 1916 to 1924, and of course later on, late in the 20th century, the U.S. Invaded again, the Dominican Republic in 1965, and then in Haiti in 1994.
You make a great point about that, about the bloodiness of the border, but you also talk about in the book about the Dominican attitudes toward Haitians, which is often one of solidarity, often one of admiration. And there is this intermixture around the border that is common throughout this history.
Right. And so that was part of the main arguments of the book, is that today you often hear because of recent punitive policies coming out of Dominican Republic, which target the Haitian community and their descendants, that Dominican-Haitian relations have historically been adversarial. But as I note in the book, if you look at the history of the border at the local level, most of that relationship has been collaborative. Before the massacre in 1937 and afterwards, even to the present day. And so there are two kind of patterns that exist. One is the elites in the Dominican Republic trying to divide both peoples, but then at the local level on the border, the two peoples historically, and for the most part, have come together to trade, to marry each other, and to unite in different causes.
And that there, I mean, certainly there is an anti-Haitianism, yes?
Yes, of course.
But that it was so persistent and it was so a part of the fabric of the Dominicans, that is really the point that you're trying to argue against.
Right, that... what I'm trying to argue against that it wasn't part of the fabric. It's always been part of the elite vision of differentiating themselves, Dominicans, from Haitians. And so, you hear Dominicans today sometimes refer back to 1822 when Haiti, as a free black republic, enters, invades, or unifies the East, goes in and occupies the entire island. And many Dominicans look at that as a dark chapter in their history. But in reality, it wasn't the Dominican Republic. It was a Spanish colony. And there are many positive attributes to that unification of the island. But the elite vision of portraying Haiti as bad and backwards and associated with negative stereotypes of what Africa is supposed to be is a project that has survived into the 20th century. That's why you see it, you still see it today, and you saw it during Trujillo's era to justify a very bloody genocidal massacre in 1937.
Well, it's a fascinating account. The name of the book is Dividing Hispaniola, the Dominican Republic's Border Campaign Against Haiti, 1930 to 1961. Edward Paulino is an assistant professor of history at John Jay College and one of the New York Council for the Humanities public scholars. Edward, thank you very much for joining us for Ideas Matter. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Thank you. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable to find out about New York Humanities and about Edward's program, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.